Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Marketing and business building expert Jim Palmer, known internationally as the Newsletter Guru, is a serial entrepreneur, author, speaker, and coach to other entrepreneurs. Jim is the host of Newsletter Guru TV, a weekly web TV show featuring Jim's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice. Check it out today at www.newsletterguru.tv. Please welcome your host of Stick Like Glue Radio, Jim Palmer.
Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio. This is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. And those are all great things in anybody's business. I am your host, Jim Palmer, and I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. I am so excited about this week's show because my very special guest is a great friend of mine, Jay Henderson. And Jay's not only a very savvy entrepreneur, but he's truly one of the nicest people you'll ever meet, and he's just a man of an incredible integrity. So let me share just a little bit about Jay. He is the founder of a great company called Real Talent Hiring, and it's a unique hiring and management kind of development service for businesses who want to know exactly who to hire, what to expect, will this person succeed, why will they succeed, why they won't, what motivates them, and things like that, and you know, how they're going to interact in your environment. It's very, very critical stuff. Jay is currently one of only 8 master certified consultants in the world using this unique predictive science. Now, prior to starting Real Talent Hiring, Jay spent 5 years at Stephen R. Covey's company in the Covey Leadership Center, which is so cool. He was a regional manager over 9 central states in the U.S., teaching clients the well-known First Things First program, again, which is based on Covey's book of the same title. Now, Stephen R. Covey is the author of 7 Habits of Highly Effective People and Principle-Centered Leadership, and Jay has trained leaders and managers in all of Stephen's programs. On the personal side, he lives in North Carolina in Raleigh with his wife and 4 daughters. Hey, Jay, thanks so much for being my special guest today. I'm really excited for our listeners to get to know you better.
Jim, thank you for having me. It's wonderful to be with you, and great introduction. Wow, thanks.
Hey, how about that? I did a little research. So before I nail you with 52 questions, is there anything in your bio or intro that I didn't cover, or anything else you want everybody to know about you or
oh,
about
no,
it?
I think the most important part is the 4 daughters and a great wife, and we live in Raleigh, North Carolina, and that's just love my family and really enjoy the whole entrepreneurial world and driving business and listening to and learning from people like you and growing and just having a blast.
It's a lot of fun, and you know, one of the things I've seen about you, Jay, is you, like me, attend a lot of live events. You get outside the office, you get out from behind the monitor and things like that. I see you at a lot of different events, I've seen your company grow over the last 2, 3, 4, 5 years, and it's no mistake, as I tell people, you just can't sit there and send out an email or put something on Facebook and hope you're going to grow. You have to get out there and be in action. So I commend you for what you're doing.
Well, thank you. The 3 things that I think of a lot are be somebody, be somewhere, do something. And I think that this live event thing you're talking about, the more I get out, the more I speak, the more I interact, the better it goes. So
absolutely. So my first question, Jay, you know, there's a lot of numbers that I hear, you know, when you talk about as a business owner, and I have 9 virtual assistants that work for me, and while they're not employees, believe me, the payroll every month looks like they may as well be. But there's a lot of numbers that I hear about when you're talking about the total cost associated with hiring people from, you know, I guess that's from recruiting and interviewing and training and all the different things. What are you hearing about that, and kind of what are your thoughts on this, the total cost picture?
Well, the Society for Human Resource Management tells us that there are 6 critical things you need to measure in order to understand your true costs. Most of us only measure 3 things because they're kind of obvious. Recruiting, which is your whole finding process, putting an ad in and bringing in the resumes and doing those first interviews and things of that nature, making the hiring decision. Training the person, management time for doing that, and then just sorting it all out. Those are typically the things that are your you know, normally measured cost, and most industries significantly under approach this number. You know, in marketing, we want to make sure that we know exactly what our numbers are, don't we? Right? You taught me that.
Yep.
You got to know what your numbers are so you can run your business that way. And it's the same with this management side of the business. What are their costs for hiring? And most people don't know. But there are three other costs that we can't so easily measure. So I think people maybe sort of just stick their head in the sand because they don't know how to measure it. But it's kind of employee mistakes or employees polluting the culture or causing turnover. So there are a lot more. There's a lot more to it than just those first three items that we normally think about. So to kind of net it out, or bottom line it, again, SHRM, who that's what I call Society for Human Resource Management. They say that it's in a sales role, it's 10 times the salary to make a bad hiring decision. So if you hire a salesperson who's making $100,000 a year, it's $1 million cost. And of course, that's a really insane kind of number. But they're considering opportunity cost, right, and the loss of opportunity and things like that when a good salesperson doesn't perform. But in a typical role, let's call it a front office or back office role for a doctor or, you know, an information marketing business like ours or something of that nature, you know, you're looking at minimum to make a bad hiring decision, you're looking at the cost of the salary. So if you pay a person, say, $40,000 a year, it's a $40,000 cost, even if they're only on for 4 to 6 months. Because there's just so many things that happen, mistakes, customer service problems, chasing off potential clients. I hear it all the time where people who are answering the phone, they blow it. They don't ask for appointments. They don't try to keep people. They're not scripted well. They don't know what they're doing. So, you know, the costs can really be extraordinary. And it's just something to keep in mind. So you want to, obviously, I guess my goal would be to motivate people to do their best and make their best possible decisions and not make all the big mistakes and things like that.
Yeah, I think one of the things that you do well, and I would just encourage you to keep doing it and more of it, is educating prospective clients actually for your own business about these costs. Because you're right, Jay, a lot of people think, okay, well, if I hire her or him and it doesn't work out, and then, you know, I lose $3,000-$4,000. But in reality, it's that first week, that first month, and when that person is new on the job, not only are they interacting and asking 1,000 questions of potentially you, the owner, which would be the worst, is all the other people, and so there is disruption, and you know it's so hard to kind of quantify that, if you will, but you know if you think about it, if you've got a high performing salesperson. And this person is either closing deals or on the phone or whatever, and now she's 20% of her or his time is answering questions for the newbie. That person is not producing, so there's really hard costs to an owner for making a bad decision, right?
There really are. And if you ask yourself the question, do you spend all your time with your high performers, or do you spend most of your time with your lower performers? That old saying, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, you know, it's true. It's tough in management because your job is to fix problems, right? Foresee them, set up systems so they don't happen. But when they do happen, you have to go running. So if it's your time that they're taking up, you know, you're exactly right. If it's other staff time, that's a cost. If it's your time, it's an even greater cost. You know, the best thing you can do for your good performers is surround them with other good, high-performing people. And the worst thing you can do is surround them with low-performing people. And listen, they complain to each other. They may not complain to the boss because they don't want to be seen as, you know, whining or a crybaby or, you know, or being inappropriate about another person on the team. So they may not even tell you the problems that are happening.
Exactly. So, Jay, so assuming, you know, we as business owners, we all want to hire the best person possible, and I'm afraid there's one of the strategies I teach a lot when I'm out speaking, and I call it stop being a fireman. Stop showing up to work putting out fires every day.
Right.
So if we want to stop being a fireman, and one of the ways we can do that is to have great people surrounding you, what are some of the questions we should be asking ourselves about potential hires?
The first thing we all already ask ourselves, it's obvious, is can they do the job? you know, too many people, by the way, are hiring based on whether somebody can fog a mirror or not. You know, that means they're alive and they're breathing, so we hire them. You know, that's when we get under enormous pressure and we're in too much of a hurry because we haven't remained, so to speak, in the hiring process. Just stay in the hiring process all the time. Be on the lookout. Put a good page on your website. But the other, that by the way, sells career and working for your practice or firm or business and what have you. But the other thing that you need to ask yourself is, will they do the job? And that's a question I think we don't ask. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
You know, absolutely.
Can they do the job is one question, is obvious. But the other one is, will they do the job? And we don't, I think, ask that question because people don't know how to know the answer to that. I mean, how do you know that? So they give people a 90-day trial, right? The other question is, will they do the job for me in my unique business? And, of course, I mean, obviously everybody's going through the system and process that they've been taught over the years is proper for hiring, and they're trying to learn as much as they can. But those are the kind of key things you need to know. And the other thing you need to know is, you know, you need to find a way to measure risk and to get inside the person. You know, the stuff that even their mom doesn't know, and even the stuff that they don't know about themselves. Kind of like you see people try out for American Idol or X Factor or stuff like that. And, you know, it's just unbelievable to me at times. I think some people are goofing around when they're just awful singers, right? But other people, they seem very sincere, you know. They can't hear themselves. They have no idea how poor their performance is. And it's true of people who are trying to get a job in your business.
You know, I think people in general can, you know, well, not everybody, it's probably too broad a brushstroke, but, you know, let's say, you know, at least in managerial leadership roles, you can probably put on a good suit and pull off a good interview, right? Especially, you know, when you need a job. So, and I think it's also probably not real difficult, I'd say, to check on somebody's skill set based on the jobs they've had. But one of the things I think, and you know, I haven't been in a real hiring mode in a few years. I kind of remember what it was like. But I also know, you know, from my wife who's hiring a lot of people all the time, when you call for references and things like that, it's like almost impossible getting anything other than yes, they worked here. So
right.
How do you? And I really like the fact that you said, how do people know they will do the job?
Right.
I mean, so much of that is coming from their past employers. So how do you get around that? I'm sure you probably got some kind of a profile or test or something?
I do, but let me give you a couple of tips. I mean, one thing you want to do is when you do a reference check, you're probably going to get a voicemail for the person you're trying to reach. So leave this voicemail. Ask this question. Say, I'm calling to get a reference check on Fred, and please call me back if Fred was outstanding as a performer.
Wow.
See, that's a great question because you know, if they don't call you back, they're sending you a message without having to say anything negative.
I like
that. Yeah, another thing to do is get on the phone with a boss or a reference check and then say, is there anyone else at your company who Fred worked with? And then may I speak to them?
Mm.
Because that's somebody whose name wasn't given but did work with Fred, and you'll probably get a more accurate read about that person too. So, and, yes, I do have a unique way of measuring something that 99% of other systems out there don't measure. Everybody out there is measuring behavior, which is fine, and that's, you know, as much data, I like to teach people, as much data as you can gather is worth it to gather the data because the costs are so high that if you spend, you know, money, you know, pennies against the dollar, right, that's what it turns out to be, to understand who you're really talking to here, do it. But I do have a system that it measures how people think and how they make decisions. And the way it measures this is different than anything out there. And what it measures in this is different than anything out there. And it's an objective process. There's not one question. So people have no idea how to game it. You know, there's a guy named Buster Tate. He won't mind me bringing this up because every time I see him, he says, please have people call me if they want to talk to me about your system. But Buster is the COO of Foster Web Marketing. You know Tom Foster.
I know Buster
yeah.
as well.
Oh, yeah, okay. So Buster basically worked for the Pentagon for 20 years, and he called me up on the phone. He said, hey, listen, I used to write these things for the Pentagon. I got yours from Tom. I couldn't figure it out, and when I took it, I was blown away by the detail about myself that it revealed. He said, you know, you really got something unique here. That was a neat thing to hear from him. So it's different and unique, and I think it does measure those things that are intrinsic to the person rather than just a behavioral measure, which does not reveal risk, by the way. You know, behavioral measures that are out there, other tools like, there's a lot, I don't want to name them and be rude, but there, and I like the other tools that are out there. I use them. I'm certified in most of them. I teach some of them at Cisco Corporation on a pretty regular basis. So it's not like I'm against them, but from the hiring perspective, they don't reveal risk, you know, and that's the critical thing you want to know.
Awesome. By the way, right before we go to commercial here, you know, I was in a mastermind with Tom for a couple of years. I think it was like 4 years ago, and back when his company was not starting, but he was just starting to grow, and he brought to the group what should he hire a COO, and he actually talked at that time about Buster.
No.
And you know Tom, he's a very creative guy. We said you need a COO to wrangle everything. So that was
well,
that
he
was
got the right guy, didn't he?
There
he got
go.
The right
he
guy.
Sure did.
Yep.
So, all right, we're going to pause here for a very brief timeout, but on the other side of this, I want to talk to Jay a little bit more about the system and the questions he's talking about, but I also want to ask him about some of the biggest hiring mistakes people make. So hold on, we will be right back.
As a marketing coach or small business consultant, you know that the fastest way to help your clients increase their profits is by getting more repeat business and more referrals from their current customers. You also know that the best way for your clients to develop stronger, healthier, and more profitable relationships with their customers is with a monthly customer newsletter. That's right, a hard copy, printed, and mailed monthly newsletter. Trouble is, you can recommend your clients use a newsletter, but they're just too busy to do it themselves. And hiring someone can cost hundreds, if not thousands, per month. And in the end, it just doesn't get done. Now, instead of simply recommending that your clients use a customer newsletter, you can provide them with an amazing done-for-you newsletter program. The no-hassle newsletter system is a complete done-for-you profit-boosting solution for your customers and clients. Every month, your clients get a great newsletter that their customers actually look forward to and enjoy reading, and that not only keeps their business top of mind, it makes you a marketing hero. The No Hassle Newsletter Master Reseller Program is a complete turnkey newsletter system that solves your client's biggest need, and it also adds a lucrative new revenue stream for your business. Become a master reseller today at www.nohasslenewsletters.com. That's www.nohasslenewsletters.com.
And we are back. Let's get right back to my very special guest, Mr. Jay Henderson. Jay, I think I saw on your website you have this really cool report that people can download. It's called The 7 Biggest Hiring Mistakes Bosses Make. We don't quite have time to go into all seven, but what are the top maybe two or three that you can talk about?
You know, probably the top one would be using gut feeling. And another one combined with that is being in too much of a hurry to hire, all the pressure we feel when we have that need. And then we do that fog the mirror test, right? They show up, fog the mirror, and they're hired. So being in too much of a hurry and using only gut feeling, you know, the number one reason bosses make a hiring decision is enthusiasm. Mm. And I mean, I want my staff to be enthusiastic, right? But the problem with looking for, and you know, what that communicates to me is that the boss was looking to be sold. Listen, hiring can be a pain. People don't want to be involved in that process. They've got more important, you know, profit developing things to do with their time. So they'd rather not be in that process. And I mean, I don't blame them. But, you know, if you've got to do it right. And if you're hiring based on enthusiasm, that tells me you were hoping the person who walked in the door was the person of your dreams. And then you're open and you're susceptible to being sold by the wrong people. That make sense?
It sure does.
So, you know, you got to be really careful about that. And then another probably problem is no system, you know, winging it, not being clear about the role, and I don't mean just duties and responsibilities, I mean everything you can think of to understand that role and how it fits into the organizational processes and exactly the type of person you need to perform in that role. And then, of course, not measuring for risk. Those are some that I would call probably the biggest. You know, another one is hiring someone because a friend told you about them.
Mm-hmm.
And 90% of the jobs people get come from networking. So too many people are hiring because a friend referred someone. And that's just a disaster waiting to happen. You know, hiring family and things like that, or mother-daughter teams or things like that. That's really, I see a lot of problems with my clients in situations like that, because you've heard the saying, hire slow and fire fast. But, you know, if you hire mother-daughter teams or friends and things like that, you know, and most people are non-confrontational, and, you know, they just aren't going to grab the bull by the horns and fire people as fast as they need to be fired. It's hard. You know, nobody wants to deal with that kind of stuff. So you got to be careful on the front end and really take your time and do it right.
You know, one of the other ones you mentioned in the report was hiring because of impeccable references.
Yeah.
Give me just maybe 60 seconds on that one.
Well, again, you know, like we were talking about earlier, people – so, I mean, I've had clients call me. We'd be talking about a candidate, and the client would say, yeah, you know, Susie told me that her boss said he'd give her a great reference. You know, it's kind of like, yeah, if you leave my business, I don't care where you go, and I'll give you a good reference. Just get out of here.
Right.
So, and again, we live in this litigious society, and everybody's afraid to say anything negative about anybody. And I think you've got to do the process with, you know, that's typical. You've got to check references. Okay. I mean, you know, you've got to listen for tonality though, because if someone, you know, again, and most people aren't nasty people, right? They don't want to say mean or negative things, and they don't want to get sued. But you got to listen for tonality. So if a boss says, "Yeah, you know, Susie, she was good," you know, it's not very convincing to me. So just you've got to go through the process. Make sure you do it. But again, you know, your goal really. Your overarching goal, I would say, the best important, most important paradigm you've got to go at this with is rather than waiting to be sold and hoping these people can do the job and all that, is to be thinking to yourself, you cannot work in my business until you absolutely prove to me that you are stellar, which means you're going to unturn every rock, right? You're going to leave no stone unturned. You got to check references. Check them out on Facebook, see if they're on, you know, LinkedIn's more professional, so they're probably not going to goof around there. But in Facebook, you know, you won't believe the pictures you see. Do the reference checks. Follow them out to their car after you do the interview. Just look at it, you know. It's all data. You know, in Japan, CEOs, when they make important hiring decisions, the last thing they do as a company is the CEO actually goes and has dinner with the family in the family's home of the person they're going to hire. You know, they want to see, what does this person live like? What's their life really like? You know, because, you know, success leaves clues, and so does failure. So, you know, and reference checks, those are some of my thoughts. And, of course,
cool.
I already gave a couple tips of things you should do.
Yeah, so we're down to about 5 minutes, and I want to give you a chance to talk a little bit about actually kind of what you do and your contact information. But before I do that, Jay, what advice could you give to somebody who wants to at least start out being great at hiring? You know, everybody listening to this, I'm quite sure, unless they're a client of yours, are going, that's me.
Yeah.
So if somebody with the best of intentions say, okay, starting with my next hire, I want to do a better job, like, what's a good place to start?
Well, look, I mean, number one, you build a profile of exactly what the role entails, behaviors, who succeeded in the past, why did they succeed in that role in the past. Take opportunity to take a look at the role and determine whether or not. So you said they're starting out, and I heard you, but they're just starting out in hiring. You know, but you build a profile of what it is you're looking for. Then you can write an ad that attracts that kind of person and repels the others, right? Just like marketing. And then third, you know, you want to weed out resumes, and you sort resumes into two piles. I call it pile A, pile B. Pile A gets all the resumes where there's a cover letter that is customized, it's nicely written, it's focused on you. They didn't just blast out a resume to 50 different people, right? They looked at your website, maybe. They know who you are. Maybe there's a reason why they want to work for you that's in the cover letter. You know, that gets big points with me. Of course, people, you want to give people hoops to jump through and make sure they're following instructions. And if they don't follow instructions, they're out. Because if they don't do it at the beginning of the process, why would they do it later? You want to test people as much as you possibly can. You can do free grammar checks, free spelling tests online, free typing tests where you get benchmarks of how fast people type. Why does that matter? You know, time is money, and people making mistakes in their typing process and so forth, depending upon the role. You know, in the interviewing process, get really creative. People are reading books, and they're being coached, and they know all the questions to answer. There's books on this stuff. So become unconventional in your interviewing process. I've got clients who will bring a candidate into a conference room and say, we'll be back in a moment, and then the person interviewing them will walk in and pick up a chair and say hi and greet the person, then pick up a chair and take it out. Come back, pick up a chair, take it out. Come back in the room, pick up a chair, and take it out. And they're literally just wondering, is this person going to engage with me? Are they going to try to help me? Are they going to talk to me? So it's just, ask wild off-the-wall questions. Your goal is to throw people off their game, take them off their feet, and really try to get into their world. You know, there's legal issues. You can't ask questions like, how many kids do you have? Or are you married and things like this? But you can ask questions like, describe your garage for me. Or what's in your closet, you know, and you'll be amazed what people will reveal. Oh, my husband's guns are in the closet. There's such a safety issue. I'm worried about my kids. Or, you know, my husband's or my kids' bicycles are strewn all over the garage. I can't ever keep it clean. There's shoes everywhere. You know, so testing, interviews, have multiple people interview the candidate, not just you alone. Have a process where they literally score the candidate. You know, where maybe there's three of you that are going to interview the person. You know, everyone have a little piece of paper and score the candidate against these items you really want to understand and measure. And then, you know, show each other these things separately. Don't correlate about it, if that makes sense. Have them all hand them to you. Or have group interviews where there's 10 candidates or 5 candidates in front of you. And you're asking questions at random to each person in the room and watch how they interact with each other. Have them play games together. I've got a client that will get a gymnasium at the local high school, and they'll bring in 10 or 15 candidates, and they'll break them into groups of 2 or 3, and they'll have them do things like build newspaper towers and, you know, and watch how they interact with each other. It's unbelievably revealing. And when you take measures like this, which some of you may be listening going, that's like way more than I'm interested in doing. But when you do this, you know, you're going to really weed out the problems. And then when you bring them to someone like me, who I'm going to really get in what Rem Jackson calls, Rem says, let Jay get into the underwear drawer of your candidate's brain. and that's what I actually do. So it's, again, not personality or behavior, but you know, good things to know, but not risk analysis. So, you know, when you bring them to me, you want to bring the best people you can to me, so you're successful, right? Don't just bring me anybody just because I can do this amazing stuff with them and that I know things about them no one else would ever know. But again, so you got to go through those kinds of steps. Is that helpful?
It is so helpful. I mean, everything you said was incredibly helpful, except I can't get the image, thanks to Rem Jackson, of you pouring through somebody's dresser with a flashlight hanging out of your mouth.
Oh, man. Well, that's where you find the stuff, you know?
That is great. You know, I totally get that. You know, real quick, and then I'm going to give you a chance to give out some information. You know, one of the times about 5 years ago, I was getting into a partnership with somebody, and so me and this other guy, we were interviewing potential web developers, And for some reason, it seemed like it was going well, and I wanted to try and knock them off their game. Nowhere near as skilled as you are, but so I said, "What excites you most about this?" And then he went on about all the things that my partner and I were thinking of doing. And I said, "And I'm gonna ask you one more question, and I don't want you to think about it. You start talking as soon as I'm done answering it, because I want the truth." And I said, "What concerns you the most about this opportunity?"
Excellent.
And he goes, I'm pretty sure I can do it, but I'm not 100%, but I want to do a great job for you. It just all fell out. And I thought, and my buddy looks at me and he said out loud, "That was a phenomenal question."
Well, look at the response you got. That guy, he was taken off his game, which is what I was talking about a minute ago, by your question.
Yeah.
And, you know, now, did you hire that person?
We did, Jay. I was just going to tell you that.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, he's the guy that we hired because I thought this guy is totally candid. He told me where his skills were. He said, "Now, you want to do this, that, and the other thing. I've got to go learn those, but I know I can do it." And so we were totally engaged with him and his honesty and things like that. And that's what really got us hiring him.
You know, real quick, I know we don't have much time, but there's a research project that happened where they took a resume and they made it just a glowing, perfect, phenomenal resume. And then they did an A-B test where they took that same one and they made another fictitious person and they put a admission in there, a damaging admission, right? And it said, you know, he's sometimes has difficulty in relationships with people. And the one that was perfect, or I'm sorry, the resume that had the damaging admission in it got 2-to-1 the responses to be interviewed.
Wow.
Because the truth was, you know, some form of we believe it because he's not perfect. But I had a feeling you'd have hired that guy just because of that candid nature and the truth in that. There's feeling of safety in there. We're all vulnerable. Nobody's perfect. But, you know, so but that's great. Great question.
Awesome. So what a phenomenal call. You got so much great. I love your website, by the way. I was just on it before we jumped on the call. I mean, you got so much content and information there that I think people would find helpful. So why don't you give that out, and if people have questions or want to connect with you, why don't you give some of that information as well?
Okay, thank you. Yeah, so the website you're referring to is called realtalenthiring.com, just like it's spelled, R-E-A-L, talent, T-A-L-E-N-T, hiring, H-I-R-I-N-G.com. realtalenthiring.com, and you know that's where you can reach me, and there's an 800 or an 877 number on there, toll free. Feel free to go there to, you know, if any of you want ever to experience the system that I was talking about a little bit, the thing that I do where you know you'll have a candidate and you'd send them through a little simple exercise that takes less than 20 minutes to complete, and there are no questions on it. So the person, what you're doing is you're giving them a task. And not only that, but you're giving them a thinking task. So it measures, you know, where their attention is, but also how clearly they think and make decisions. It's not an intelligence test, and it's not a psychological test, like legally, but it reveals risk. So I give you a free experience with that if you are in the hiring process and if you have a current employee. You can run it on. I don't want you to run it on yourself necessarily, because I want you to have the experience of, you know, someone else you know that I don't know. So there's that. It's a free offer. You know, if you want to take advantage of it, I'd love to meet you and help you out with that. And there you go.
Perfect. Just awesome. You know, Jay, there's something I say when I'm talking to people about newsletters, and I think it's appropriate here, so if you'll allow me. You know, I always tell people marketing is only an expense if it fails to produce a return. And so I think the same thing, and to be quite honest, we've known each other a long time. I have no idea what you charge, but I'm guessing that if somebody was to look at what you charge for the service that you perform, and if they even like smack their lips or gulp a little bit, I would say the same thing. The fee that you charge, in other words, what they invest to get the best client possible, not the best client, but the best employee, you know, for their company, that whatever your fee is going to pale in comparison to getting the best hire, because not only will that new hire going through your system perform well and be much more profitable, but we already know by the sheer fact that if they last and they don't get jettisoned in the ejection seat in the first 30 days, it's going to be a lifesaver too. So That's as much of a tip for everybody as it is for you, Jay. Remember that. It's only an investment. It's only an expense, I mean, if it fails to produce a return.
Yeah, and it's – I am so inexpensive, it's ridiculous. If someone has not hired me because of price, I don't even know about it.
Then you got to go reread the first chapter of my book, The Fastest Way to Higher Profits, and start raising your prices.
You're going to tell me to raise my prices. I know.
There you go. Jay, thank you so much, man. This has been just an awesome, awesome interview. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim, and thanks for all you've taught me. I really appreciate you.
My pleasure. All right, folks, that wraps up this very special episode of Stick Like Glue Radio with Jay Henderson. Stick Like Glue Radio is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. I'm your host, Jim Palmer. I am committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. Watch for another great episode of Stick Like Glue Radio next week. And until then, keep taking action, keep moving forward, and don't ever, ever, ever give up. Now go out there and do something nice for somebody today. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Stick Like Glue Radio features Jim Palmer's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice for action-oriented entrepreneurs. To make sure you don't miss a single profit-boosting show, subscribe to this podcast at www.getjimpalmer.com. If you know other entrepreneurs looking for the fastest way to higher profits in their business, please tell them about the Stick Like Glue Radio podcast. Now go and implement what you've learned and boost your profits. See you next week for more Stick Like Glue Radio.